You know, I was laughing at it, and Jonah was running around up here. You know, in the first century church, what we saw this morning was more the rule than the exception, because they met in people's homes, and kids were running around all over the place. And that's what the church is about family, about love, about caring, about supporting. Some of you may be able to relate to this first illustration better than others. Let's suppose that you're out on Lake Michigan and you're coming into a harbor that you are not familiar with, maybe Benton Harbor. And Michigan is noted for its odd behavior. So a sesh comes in, and you've got rain, and you've got fog, and you've got wind, and you're trying to get into the harbor. And what do you look for? You look for lights. You look for lights. You know that under bad conditions, it's very easy to have a serious accident. There are rocks, there are jetties, there's other boats. This song that we just sang was written by a guy who had had that experience. His name was Philip Bliss, and he was coming into Cleveland. And Cleveland, being what it has been, the lights went out. And Lake Erie, like Lake Michigan, socks in frequently. He can't see anything. He can't hear anything. He knows there's a jetty there. And he's desperately looking for something to help him get safely into the harbor. When he finally got there, he sat down and he wrote this song. You know, it's important for us to understand that Jesus emphasized the business of lights and our purpose in existing as individuals, as a church, is tied into this question of lights. We're mostly familiar with John 1. I want to emphasize a couple of things in John, the first chapter. Listen to the emphasis. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Okay, we've talked about that. We know the Word is Christ, Logos in the original language. But now look at verse 2. Through Him all things were made. Without Him, nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life. And that life was the light of all men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness does not understand it. When I taught earth science in Bloomington, Indiana, one of the field trips I took my kids on was to Eller's Cave. Can you imagine having 23 teenagers, all of whom are discipline problems, in a cave? I was really smart, though. I was the only one with lights. We got back into the dome, which is a large room, about the size of this one. It's about 300 or 400 yards from the entrance to the cave. So I turned off my lights. We're in total, absolute darkness. You ever been in total, absolute darkness? I mean real darkness. Not one with a cell phone on, not one with light from the outside, not one with any kind of light at all, just absolute darkness. Dark.
Even my thugs were quiet. Dark. No light. Then I took out of the match and lit the match. Just a match. In a room this size. Can you visualize that? It's absolutely black. And this little tiny match is struck. It lights up the whole room. I had a message for the kids there. And God has a message for you this morning. The light. You know, it's easy to be a light in today's world. If you live a Christian life, you're going to hear things like, "Why'd you do that?" Or, "Why don't you do that?" See, that's a response to light. What you don't do is light. What you do do is light. And as we continue reading in John, picking up with verse 6. And you can take a name out of this and put your name in place of it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was Leon. His name was Bill. His name was Willard. His name was Audrey. His name was Brenda. His name, well, you get the point, right? Sent from God. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. We're not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. Now, we know that passage is dealing with an individual. But I want to suggest to you that that reading is so much a part of what you and I are supposed to be. In Ephesians, the 5th chapter, beginning with verse 8, we read, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light." You were once darkness, but now you are light. In the Lord, live as children of light. The song, "Let the lower lights be burning, you are children of light." For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is light that makes everything visible. You know what? Only hope this world has is the light of Christianity. If you don't believe that, pick up your newspaper and read. Turn on your television set. And look what is happening to our world. The darkness. The evil. Colossians 1 and verse 13 says to you and me, He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption and forgiveness of sins. What is the dominion of darkness? It's politics. It's materialism. It's false religions. It's immorality. See, we are the light of the world. Jesus says, don't put your light under a bushel. Be the light of the world. That statement in Matthew, the 5th chapter, starting with verse 14, is not just some kind of wishful thinking. Jesus knows, God knows, the plight of the world, and God has a purpose in you and in me. We need to take it seriously. We are a lower light or a witness light. In 1 Thessalonians 5, beginning with verse 5, Paul says, you are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then, let us not be like others who were asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled. For those who sleep, sleep at night. And those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled. You ever wonder why it is that when you go into a bar, it's dark? Ever go into a saloon that's dark? Even when we have some of these places around us here where there's a restaurant and a saloon, the saloon is dark, the restaurant is light. If you've ever been in one of the casinos, everything's dark, only the machines. We are surrounded by darkness. But then he goes on in this passage and says, but since we belong to the light, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, as in fact you are doing. Why does God tell us to worship? Why are we here today? What's our purpose? You say, well, God told us to do it. Okay. There are a lot of things God told you to do, you don't do though, right? Why do we meet together? Why did God call us to be together? What's our purpose in being in this facility? The passage tells us, encourage one another. Build each other up as you are doing. It is so important for us to continually have our batteries charged. To continually have the opportunity to have a period of time when we're not listening to four-letter words. Where we're not having a bunch of obscene pictures put in front of us. Philippians 2, beginning with verse 14, says, do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you too may become blameless and pure. Now, that doesn't mean we are blameless and pure. That's a goal. But then the rest of the passage says, children of God, in a crooked and depraved generation in which you shine like stars as you hold out the word of life. Who's going to help all of the things that we have heard about this morning? Who's going to be in the Bahamas providing food and water? Who's going to be taking care of the people that have had their homes burned in California? Who's going to help
the children that have been horribly abused in Dowagiac, in South Bend. We need to strive to make it so others can see our light. Matthew 5:16 again. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. I hope that you spend some time thinking about the opportunities that God has given us to serve our community, for us to be a part of the solutions to the world's problems. We have several meetings going on this month, and all of them have themes built around that. Sam is going to the Dominican Republic. I have not talked to her about that. Why do people do that? And why should we support it? Because, you see, that's the way we have a light to shine. And it's not just the people in the Dominican Republic. It's people at Lakeland Eye Clinic. Patients who come. People in the community who see. People that are genuinely concerned. And then what do we hear from people around us? Oh, why do you do that? Why would you go to the Dominican Republic? Why do you offer coats to kids in this area? Let the parents take care of it. Let welfare take care of it. Why do you do that? Let your light shine. This is the message we heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and live not by the truth. But if we walk in the light as he in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Christ purifies us from all sins. I want to beg you. Have fellowship with one another. You know, you can't live every day, all day, 24/7, 365, and only have 1 hour a week and have the kind of strength you want to have and that God wants you to have. You say, you mean I got to come and listen to a lousy sermon and that's going to help me? Well, that's not where it is, folks. That's not where it is. It's not in what is preached. It is in the fellowship we have with one another. Fellowship is important. So let me encourage you as you look at your life, as you look at being a light in the world, as you look at being a lower light, to look to the way of strengthening yourself by associating with brothers and sisters in Christ. They're not perfect, but they can encourage you. And look at all the opportunities you have this month. We not only have our Sunday morning class, our Sunday night class, our Wednesday night class. Let me encourage you to come and to stay afterwards. Sometimes we sit around and just talk, share. Sometimes we just play cards. I've said the card games that most of these folks play, they're mindless. You say, well, what do you mean they're mindless? You don't have to think to play the game. And for the most part, what goes on is sharing, talking, encouraging, kidding, being strengthened. Spend some time. We don't want a clique of people that isolate themselves in the church doing this. We want everybody to be a part of it. We have a Bible study coming up the third Tuesday of the month. Come, be a part of it. You don't have to listen to a long sermon. It's a devotional. We share with each other.
You can't spend your time in a better way than to be with other Christians and to hear them talk about the good things going on in their lives. Let your light shine before men. Praise God. You are the light of the world. But that light can be snuffed out. That light can burn faintly. You know, one thing I observed, and when I first became a Christian, I got sent away in the military not too long after I was baptized into Christ. And all of a sudden, I found myself with 150 guys, most of whom had no connections to God or to church at all. What do you think happened to my language after a week or two of that? What do you think happened to my thinking? My thoughts about God, love, and family, doing good? You can't be away from the support of brothers and sisters in Christ and be the light of the world. Let me give a little analogy. This is a 21st century analogy. I've got some solar cells at home. I love those solar cells, you know. I got some lights out in front so people can find their way up the driveway without stepping on the toad or the snake that lives in our front yard. But those solar cells that supply that light, they only work if they spend some time in the sun. S-U-N. If we go through a really dark day, or if I allow snow to cover them up, guess what? They don't work. And may I suggest to you that you also need to have exposure to the sun, S-O-N, for the same reason. We need to understand that the world doesn't appreciate light. And don't expect people to appreciate your light. Listen to John 3, beginning with verse 19. This is the verdict. Okay, here's the end of the discussion. Light has come into the world. Thank God that He sent His Son to provide light. That there is love in the world. That there is good in the world. That people do care. That families are being emphasized. I'm so thankful that this group is loving and loving kids. So when Jonah comes running around the front up here during the communion, nobody's upset. Because we care about people. We care about kids. Thank God. Thank God that there's always an opportunity to serve. We've got so many projects going on. All you got to do is open your mouth. You're going to have a job. There's work. Now, some of us do things on our own. You don't have to rely upon the church to do good things. Certainly not. But the church provides a basis for that. Light has come into the world. I thank God every day for Christianity because I have lived without it and I have seen what happens when it is removed from a population. That's all that's holding America together right now, in my opinion, is the fact that there are people who still believe and still hold to the teachings of God. But the passage goes on. Again, I'm still in John 3, verse 19 and 20. But men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear his deeds will be exposed. So is family going to laugh at you and make fun of you
I went through that. Many in this room have gone through that. Every time I went to Sunday services, my family make a point of picking on me, laughing at me, making fun of me. It got so bad that my father told me, if you're going to keep doing that, you're not my son anymore. Yeah, people are going to, they're going to hate what you do. But when they have troubles, and when the fruit of their lives comes around, they're going to be thankful you're the light. So when my father is dying of leukemia, guess who he wants to talk to? Not my brothers, who had already left the scene. But he calls me. When my mother is near the end of her life, guess who she wants to take care of her? When my brother, who has suffered from alcoholism, is hitting bottom, and his health has been destroyed because of his use of alcohol, guess who he calls? It was kind of interesting. 3 days ago, he called me to laugh at me and make fun of me. He told me that. So I didn't call him back. Yesterday, he called again. And this time, he wanted me to tell him I loved him. Flat out. People are going to make fun of you. Family's going to make fun of you. The passage goes on and says, but whosoever lives by truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly what he has done and has been done through God. I'm a very weak human being. I make a lot of stupid mistakes. I do a lot of foolish things. I have some bad thoughts. I'm weak. One of the reasons I come here every time I'm having an opportunity is to be around people who, they're not perfect either, but who share my desire to be better. Who are willing to encourage, who are willing to love, not because they're going to gain anything from me, but simply because we share being a part of the light. So no matter how good you are, no matter how weak you are, no matter how many things you have done that are wrong, you can still be a light. In the cave, a single little match lit up the whole room. If you don't believe that, lock yourself in a room in your house that has no light. Make sure it's absolutely and completely dark and light a match. See for yourself. Brightly beams our Father's mercy. From His lighthouse evermore, but to us He gives the keeping of the lights along the shore. I can't be the light of the world. I don't want to be the light of the world. Jesus is the light of the world. But I can be a lower light. In all these passages, all of the things in the Bible that talk about us being light, I mean, if you look in the concordance, there's hundreds of them. Has God saying to you and saying to me, be my light. I'll do the rest. You don't have to be great. You don't have to be perfect. You just need to be willing to shine. But to us, He gives the keeping of the lights along the shore. You are the only sermon some people will ever hear. Because you are the only one that will show them the kind of light that God calls us to. Dark the night has settled, loud and angry billows roar. Yeah, that's what's going on out there, folks.
Eager eyes are watching, longing for the lights along the shore. They may not even know they need it. But stay there, and they will eventually come to you. So trim your feeble lamp, my brother. Make some poor sailor tempest-tossed, trying to make the harbor in the darkness may be lost. You may look at what we do here as very small. Well, yeah, we're small. You may look at what we do as inadequate. Yeah, the needs far exceed our strength. But God still works through us and amazing things happen. And we are called to be the light of the world. If you're not a light, if you need God's prayers, the Lord's prayers, our prayers, to be a brighter light, we consider that an honor to pray with you. And if you're not a lower light, become a child of God. Become a lower light. Do what Jesus called you to do. Be God's light. As together we stand and sing to encourage you, won't you respond to that invitation? Please come.